In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, you know, our lives can feel very sophisticated at times, can't they? And we fill our time doing the most amazing things. If not ourselves, we know younger people who live like this. Speaking to work colleagues on our mobiles whilst on the train home from work. Rattling off a few text messages before we sit down and watch our favourite TV show. Throwing a ready-made meal in the microwave whilst we have a quick shower. And then it's off to meet a few friends over a drink and later perhaps to read a book in bed before going to sleep. We feel that we're in control of all that. But it is an illusion. As I discovered recently during one of the many power cuts in Newdigate, everything I wanted to do was blocked by lack of electricity. My gadgets needed recharging, so I was unable to do anything for a whole evening. And it's true, isn't it? Without fuel for our cars and electricity to run the internet for us and provide us with lighting, we would soon be back to the Stone Age. And I'm sure many of you have heard those dire predictions about us leaving the EU without a deal. If that happens, there's only going to be 4 days of food in the shops, we're told, and we may not have fuel for our cars. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? You see, life in the end comes down to essentials, the things that really matter. Now, we all know this, but you wouldn't know that we know it. Because in our culture everywhere, it appears that we envy those with riches and things all around them. And the Sunday Times publishes its list of the richest people in the UK every year. What they are worth now compared to last year. Are their fortunes on the rise, or is their place in the top 100 being taken by somebody else? And our obsession with fame and fortune continues. If you go to the local newsagent, you'll find their magazines on the shelf, all about the rich and famous and their wonderful lives. But underneath, we all know that having things doesn't necessarily lead to happiness. And the reason for that is that the more we have, the more we have to worry about. Some people can have very little, but be relatively happy and contented. And we're realizing these things in our own time because we can gather information from all over the world now, and it tells us something about the human condition. We only need to look at the statistics for mental health to see that affluence is no barrier to depression and unhappiness. In fact, as we become more affluent, we may succumb more easily to depression. If not us, then our children. Summing up all this information from around the world, someone said recently, summed up the world in this way: people were created to be loved. Things were created to be used. And the reason the world is in such chaos is because things are being loved and people are being used. How true that is of our own time, I think. But let's go back now to 2,000 years, to when Jesus was spending his time in Nazareth. The people were very poor and they had to work hard for a living. And Jesus described himself in some very basic ways to appeal to this basic lifestyle. And he described himself during his ministry as the Good Shepherd, a picture of guidance and care in a rural community. He described himself as the door, offering protection, but also a way to get to all that is good in life. He also described himself as the light of the world, leading away from darkness and despair. He described himself as the true vine, offering flavor and goodness, and having good roots well established in the soil. He described himself as the water of life, refreshment from the heat and the drought of life. And now, in our reading that's just been read to us, he describes himself as the bread of life. Now, all these items that Jesus uses to compare himself with are very basic to life. Protection, light, enjoyment, water, and bread. These are the things that matter. So we can understand why Jesus compares himself to the bread of life. But if you look at what Jesus actually says, he goes a lot further. Listen to this. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is almost saying that he is a replacement, a substitute for these basic items. Well, you might think that's complete nonsense. Without even the basics of bread and water, we are surely finished. We can't survive without bread and water. But it's interesting that some have observed and recorded something quite different. I don't know if any of you have heard of Viktor Frankl. He was a prominent Jewish psychologist who found himself in several concentration camps during World War II. And what he discovered, including Auschwitz, he did survive all three, amazingly enough, and he was able to tell his story when he came out. And he published that, and it's never been out of print. It's called The Meaning of Life. It's only a thin book, and it's easily available in most of the bookshops. Viktor Frankl, The Meaning of Life, based on his experiences as a psychologist in Auschwitz. What he discovered was this. The ones who survived were not necessarily the strongest and toughest people in the physical sense of those terms. Surprisingly, the people who survived were often the weakest of physical specimens, with a range of illnesses before they even arrived in the concentration camp. And because he was a trained psychologist, he analysed the common factors in survival. And what he found was this. Those whose lives had a spiritual dimension and those people who found meaning and purpose in their everyday routines had a much better chance of survival. They remained unbroken by their gruesome experience. Why is that? Why should that happen? It seems too fanciful to believe. But our Bible reading for today may just have the answer. Our lives have a spiritual dimension which we neglect at our peril. Many people are aware of this important part of their lives and are desperately searching for meaning, and they'll turn to some very strange things. For instance, in Newdigate, the pub opposite the church has psychic evenings, which attracts a number of people. We at the church feel that is a very unhelpful way of finding spiritual sustenance, especially in the light of what Jesus says. And coming back to those words of Jesus, "I am the bread of life." Now, it's important for us to understand that when Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life, it was immediately after that well-known miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The people he was talking to were fed. They were full. And yet Jesus saw they were still hungry in the spiritual sense. And the point here is that it's not just about what Jesus did for his followers, like feeding them with bread and fishes. The more important message here is who Jesus was. And until they recognized who Jesus is, they may be fed in the physical sense, but there is a deeper hunger still within them. St. Augustine lived in the 4th century, and he was into everything in his day that provided pleasure. He had lots of relationships, and he had quite a few children, but he was still restless. There was an emptiness that nothing could fill. And one day he discovered what was missing in his life, and he wrote this: "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." You see, there is an emptiness within us that can only be filled by relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way that we've been made. And sadly, so many go through life without ever finding that fulfillment of their spiritual lives through being filled with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is deep meaning for our lives here on earth, and we were created for a purpose. I hope to cover this theme from a scientific perspective in a talk I'm giving in September in the Village Hall, and I think that is advertised on your news sheets on the front page. But if you would like any more details, I've left a few flyers by the back of the church there. It's the first Friday in September. It's not in a church, because I didn't want it to be in a church. It's in the Village Hall, and it's meant for everybody who has any questions about any scientific aspects of our lives. And it's entitled, "Belief in God, Is It Rational?" But I hope to address some of these questions of the meaning of life from a scientific perspective. But you know, we need to find that meaning for our lives ourselves. And I believe it is found in those words of Jesus: "I am the bread of life." How do we find it? Well, we come to worship and celebrate in church, like we're doing this morning. And that's a wonderful thing. And we can speak to God every day with simple prayers, giving thanks for all that we have received in life. And we can seek to follow in the footsteps of Jesus by living the life that he lived and following his example, helping all those whom we come across. And here's the thing: as we draw near to God in that way, he will draw near to us. He will use events in our lives, our personal lives, our personal circumstances, and he will speak to us through them. And once that dialogue has started, life can get very exciting indeed. And the meaning of our life and the reason that we are here will be slowly revealed to us. And when we come to Holy Communion, we're not having communion this morning, but when we come to communion, the bread and wine remind us not only of the sacrifice of Christ, but also the fact that our lives can be filled by the presence of God through Jesus Christ. We take a morsel of a wafer, a sip of wine, but that can fill us with God himself. And once we have experienced that, we can never be the same. As Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never go hungry." The thing is, what is our response to that most important invitation?